Welcome to the Speaking Light into Abortion podcast, where I talk about all the reasons it's possible for you to thrive after your abortion. I'm your host, Amanda Kingsley, and 2 years after my own abortion, I certified as a life coach, so I could serve women after abortion in all the ways they've been deserving and lacking for centuries. Consider this your launchpad for finding strength and community in yourselves and in each other. All right, we are recording with Mara Marchese, and the beginning of my podcast is always a little wobbly as we find our feet, only by my process. But we're recording on a day that Facebook went down, and so that means that I forgot what we were talking about. Mara, I'm going to let you introduce yourself, but I know that you are here to talk about intuition. And is it the queen of intuition that you label yourself as?
The intuition queen.
Yeah, intuition queen. Come on, it's the best. So I have a million questions and thoughts for my audience, and we'll dive in. But why don't you just say whatever feels right for you today for this audience, for this podcast, and then we can get started.
Okay, so just to give you a brief introduction, I'm Mara, the Intuition Queen, and the name came through my friend's channeling, and she told me I needed to be the Intuition Queen, mainly because my intuition is very strong. I'm very intuitive. I'm a psychic. I'm a healer. I'm a life coach. And I do a lot of energy and emotional healing. And I help my clients to really tune into themselves right now and really tune into their intuition, trust their intuition, and then release everything that doesn't serve them. Particularly, I'm really, really into helping people releasing all kind of limitations, society, what other people think, what is stored in our body, mindset, anything of that kind, so that we can really get to the core of who we really are, and from that space be able to trust ourselves and therefore make the decisions that are really able to get us to live an abundant life the way abundant life means for you, because it's not the same for everybody. So yeah. Maybe just, you know, have a happy family, have a job, and just live a happy and peaceful life, what you love and who you love. And for others, creating something amazing and big. So it really is about trusting yourself and not really listening to anybody else or what people think you should be doing, because you're a woman, you're a man, you're whatever you feel you are, you know, and all of that. And I think that because we all start with checking the boxes, sometimes because we think that's what we want, some other times we just go along what we are told, and we get to 34, 35, 40 years old, and a lot of the times we look at ourselves and like, who am I? Like, yeah. I don't really like what's around here. I don't really connect with the people around me. And so the midlife crisis is really just getting to a point where you realize that you're not living the life that you should.
Mm. There's so much to talk about here. Okay, so some things that stuck out for me when you were talking, because I'm always just navigating who's listening, who's my audience, what are they here for, what are they listening for? And all right, let me just throw you some things that stuck out for me, and you can dive into any one of them. Tuning into the right now is something that I think, so most of my listeners come to me after their abortions. Some do come before when they're deciding or during, but most come after. When you talk about tuning into the right now, a lot of times what happens for my listeners is that they reflect back and recognize that I don't know if this abortion is an experience you've had personally, and you don't have to divulge in this podcast, but a lot of times it happens very quickly. It's like kind of survival mode. It's a little chaotic. There's a lot of opinions. We feel like we have to make decisions fast because there is a timeline. And so a lot of times my listeners are reflecting back and going, oh my gosh, I did not tune in. I did not listen to my intuition. I did not follow what I needed. And now I am, let me use the word suffering. And all of this language is not to describe everyone who has abortions. This is just sort of generalizing.
Yeah.
So let's just, I was gonna give you a few things that stuck out at me, but I've already talked so much. Let's just dig in there for a second. Like, what happens when we look back and we go, oh, shoot, I didn't tune in to what was happening in a way that I maybe could have?
Well, what happens there is that you really start to figure out that you made decision based or either on fear. A lot of the decisions are made by fear, and this urgency attached to desperation of having or not having or not wanting or whatever it is for each and every one of us. And so we have this lack energy coming through. And so we made decisions based on that. So a lot of the things are related to fear, especially when in situations like this, that it's a voluntary abortion. You know, a lot of things are about fear. And then you realize that the reason why you couldn't make decisions by yourself is because you listened to other people or because you felt guilty to make a decision and going against people that have raised you, or I don't know if you have a partner, your partner, whatever that could be, because each and every one of us has a different story and also environment. If you have supportive people, you might not find yourself in this situation, but you also might, because it's not necessarily because of the people around you, but because of your internal struggles, your internal wounds that make you feel like you should be doing something or not doing something. And for other people, it's just who you're surrounded by. And if you're surrounded by people that are controlling you, you don't even realize that. That is definitely one of the realization you might have at that point when you realize, oh, I didn't listen because I was afraid that that person, the other person, would tell, would do this, would do that, would say this, would say that. And then slowly, slowly, when that happens and people start to see, I guide a lot of my clients to see that. Because I come from a mom that is a narcissist and I did a lot of healing. And I work a lot with clients that come from dysfunctional families with all kind of extent and ranges of dysfunction, from a mild like mine to a really, really heavy one. And the thing is that a lot of people don't even realize that's a reason why they are not making decisions based on who they are and what they want. And they're letting other people control themselves. And so when you start to slowly, slowly realize, first of all, that you are intuitive, because a lot of my clients come to me saying, oh my God, I have, you know, my intuition doesn't work. I don't know. I'm not intuitive. I'm like, okay, let's see in a couple of weeks and let's see what happens. When they realize that, first of all, they are intuitive and most of them, their intuition is really strong. And they can trust it because they trust it. And what happens when they trust and they take the action that their intuition tells them to take, things get better and they feel better with themselves. So even if you have to make a really, really difficult decision, the way you're going to face your pain and your suffering, it's going to be way different than if you make a decision that is not what you want, but you're making it because you have to.
I talk to my clients about this all the time. Is like, you follow an intuitive decision or an intuitive knowing, and even if you get outcomes or circumstances that aren't what you anticipated or what you thought, you're going to look back and know that you made that decision having gone inward, having connected, having paid attention, and your curiosity about why it's happened the way it's happened, or why the circumstances, new circumstances have come into your life, just allows for a really different level of growth and expansion than if you didn't tune in, didn't take that time to go inward and connect, and then ended up with circumstances that you don't want. Yeah, it's a totally different game. Totally different game. Some interesting things stuck out for me when you were talking, and they're kind of not even, at first I thought, oh, well, this isn't even related to my audience, so I shouldn't talk about it. And then I realized it absolutely can be. When we make abortion decisions from a place of fear or urgency or desperation, from this lack place, from listening to other people's voices, and then we sort of look back like, okay, well, I don't like where I am now. I have some regret or doubt or, whatever it is. I just want to point out that that can happen in the other direction too. And I think it's a much less talked about situation where we decide to keep the
Oh,
pregnancy
yeah.
from fear and urgency and desperation and listening to other people's voices. And then we land in a, I think because the reason it's much less talked about is because we then end up with these beautiful children who we fall in love with most of the time. And so how could we ever say that we decided to have them from fear and urgency and desperation? But I think it can, this isn't just about choosing abortion. This is about facing the complexity of a decision like keeping a pregnancy. And we can absolutely go in either direction from that. And one is not better than the other. I think there are millions of children on the planet who are here, against what maybe would have been an intuitive guidance. And it doesn't mean they shouldn't be here, but that does create a lot of
Stress.
mess and stress and
Well, look, I have had a couple of clients, not many, that told me if I could go back in time, I wouldn't have kids. And obviously, and they're like, look, I love my kids, but in my head, I had a particular client. She wanted to become like some sort of travel blogger before a travel blogger was a thing. And then things happened, and for a lot of different reasons, she fell pregnant and she decided to keep the baby, marry the guy, and all of that. But when you are kind of forced in a way or another to make a decision that is not what you truly want, you're going to have to pay the consequences of how you feel about that choice later on. Because if you keep your baby because you're afraid, because that's what you're supposed to be doing, because whatever, and it's not what you truly want to do, what you truly want to do is to say, I'm not ready. It's not what I want. Right? And therefore, you keep on, yes, of course. You're going to love your children, or maybe love your children, but still feel that thing that the stress is going to be higher. Because what happens when you have children, you have to face your inner child, and all of the wounds that you have had with your parents are going to come back up. And if you're a mother that has made the choice to want the baby and is happy despite what can happen, because you know, our body changes, and there are a lot of your life changes completely. Your body, your biochemistry changes, and it's something that really disrupts a woman in a way that nobody can understand. And so, all of that disruption is faced and kind of welcomed differently. But if you already feel like you shouldn't have that child and you still go on, you're still going to love the child, but there's always going to be that part of you that yearns for something different. And
Yeah.
whenever things get painful and stressful, that feeling is just going to continue to stay there and increase. And, and of course, you have to find ways to deal with that. And the best way is to do some healing on yourself and figure out how you can possibly help yourself and your child to feel better.
Yeah.
But we also know how a lot of those situations start to go. I think that a lot of the situations where you have all this tension between parents and children is also because a lot of the parents didn't necessarily want the child in the
Or
first
just were
place.
not ready and equipped.
They were not ready. If you can have money issues, you can just want to do something else before you have a child. Like nowadays we see a lot of people waiting, and then you have the concept, so when are you going to have a child? When are you going to have a child? And I have a lot of conversations with people. They're like, oh my God, it's so annoying. We've been married for 5 years. We just want to have fun. We're young. And I'm like, yeah, go for it. But the thing, like, I want to be a grandfather. I want to be a grandmother. All of that kind of things. It's a lot of pressure for everybody, and that can cause a lot of tension. And it's almost like you feel like you're wrong altogether. So definitely, if that happens, the thing that I can suggest the most is to do some inner child healing and try to figure out how you can reconcile that part of yourself that didn't want the child in the first place, but that now it's kind of like forced to deal with it, with it, and therefore how you can love that part of yourself so that you can learn to love yourself now, love yourself as a mother, and therefore love your child in the best way you can.
All of that. I think that was sort of, the opposite direction of what we usually talk about, but so important. And I'm curious, something came up for me when you were talking, and with your experience, I kept thinking about how when we're faced with a pregnancy, planned or unplanned, healthy or unhealthy, whatever it is, it can be an honoring of our ancestors to keep the pregnancy. It can be an honoring of our ancestors to not keep the pregnancy. As you were talking, I was thinking about those grandmothers. That was just the visual in my head is like these. Sometimes I'll have clients whose grandmothers or past grandmothers are actually so very supportive of the decision because looking back, they can see like you have opportunity I didn't have. Like I having that child was like my only option, essentially. And I don't know, like I'm just curious what's coming up for you because that was kind of loud for me is I think sometimes as humans, we want to honor our ancestors and that might look either way. It's like bringing in those great 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 grandchildren to carry on the family line might not actually be the
No, exactly. And I think there is a distinction to make there because your ancestors that are still alive, your mother, your father, your grandparents, if you still have them, are going to have a very different opinion, or at least are going to say very different things to you than your spirit ancestors, because most of them, or a lot of them, might not even understand why they're here, and they just want you what they want you to have. And so the way they will communicate with you when they have passed is completely different because it's their soul that is talking to you rather than their physical body. And our physical body has opinions and limiting beliefs and all of that. And especially if your parents have certain age, have had a certain whatever. Like I'm Italian, I come from a very Catholic country, And my grandfather from my mom's side, when he retired, he started to work in the church. So the church and all of the church staff were on to me since I was a child. And they were just not something I could resonate with, because the only thing that I was feeling when I was a child was blame and being forced to do things that didn't make sense to me. And I could, and if I was questioning those things, nobody had an answer that made sense for me. It was kind of like, well, that's how it is, you know. That, and I was like, well, that's not enough. So I did everything that I needed to do, all the sacraments, and then at 13, I said to my mom, look, I'm done doing all the things. I'm not going to church anymore. Don't talk to me about it. And she was gracious enough not to force me to go or kind of bother me about it, because she's never been that kind of person who goes to church every single time like my grandfather. But I think, you know, and so there is that kind of pressure. They might have had a bad experience, you know, especially back in the days where, you know, you weren't a woman if you didn't have a family, didn't have children, you know. Like my aunt, my mom's sister, she's the oldest of every, they're five, and she got married and she was about 40, I think she was 40. She didn't have children, she couldn't have children, and it was some sort of disgrace, you know, like, oh my God, like, what's wrong with you, you know. And imagine the blame and the fear and all of that. Like, she is so many other different things, you know. So imagine our grandfathers and mothers and great grandmothers and all of that, what they had experienced back in the day. It was even worse. And so from a soul perspective, they will definitely come to you and give you the right messages. So my suggestion is, if you are able to do it by yourself, connect to them. Do a meditation to connect to your ancestor, or go to someone that can help you connect to someone that is in your corner. Not just to have someone in your corner, but also to help you make a decision that is aligned to what your soul wants from you and from what you want in that moment in time. You know, because maybe you are going to discover that if you go through abortion, or and then you decide that you don't want to have children, and you know, that saves you from being that kind of person that has a child but doesn't want to be a mother that much, you know. So you can never know, but I think that you have to have conversation with living family in a way, and then connect to your ancestors that have passed. And try to go deeper to get more messages if you're still struggling to make a decision.
I think too, like, there is a decision of deciding what to do about a pregnancy. But I was just watching a video I made, I probably made it 5 years ago, and it was, I chose abortion, but I think the reason I have the power I have now and the empowerment I have now and the like ownership of my story is because I kept choosing. Like, so for any listeners who are like, wow, I wish I'd connected when I was making the decision. You get to connect now. Like, you have a decision to make now moving forward. Like, now that this is a part of my history, make those connections about deciding how to move forward. So many of my clients and listeners have a craving to have another baby after an abortion. To heal that grief, right? To fill that hole. And that is a great example of a time that connecting to your ancestors, to your lineage, to your intuition, to your spirit, to help you decide how to move forward. Like, is this a real calling to have another child? Or is this just an urge to replace something that I've lost? So, yeah,
And
I,
also, I would add on that, if you feel that, also connect to your body, because your womb is trying to tell you something. If you had an abortion, then there is also a message for you there. And And our womb is connected to our lineage, our female line. So there is a message for you there. And also, let's not forget that our body needs to heal. So, it's connecting to everything. Like, your body is the most important thing that you have, and where you can get all the messages that you need if you really start to connect with it. And you can get really, really empowering or comforting messages from your body when you start connecting to it. And then, go to a deeper level and connect to your ancestors and whoever. But really, your body is there and it's connecting to you every single day. It's just that we're not able to listen because we're not used to it.
So I paused my editing of today's episode to record this episode, and it's exactly what this is about. So listeners, go back, listen to today's episode with Dr. Laura Juergens. Absolutely what we were talking about. I have a question for you about your I guess definitions. Do you perceive intuition to be essentially like a connection to, and I found it really interesting when you told me you had this upbringing in Catholicism, which of course you did as an Italian woman. Do you perceive intuition to be like a direct source to God, spirit, energy, some other higher something that's out there? Or is it something else to you? Does that make
The
sense?
way I feel about intuition is like a direct connection to my soul, my higher self. And then, because I have left religion where it is. I have a very strong connection with the universe, particularly with angels and my ancestors, particularly with my dad that has passed and with my grandmother from my mom's side, because when I was doing some inner work to heal my relationship with my mom, she came through because I went to do an ancestral healing session and she came through really strongly. And so those are my connection. Every time I need, like, I trust myself deeply, but I also learned, I have always been very intuitive since I was a child. So intuition for me was kind of normal. And then as I learned a little bit more about that, I also learned different things and kind of deepened my connection to it. But for me personally, then everybody will tell you different things. But for me, it's like there is my soul has a purpose for me. And so the messages are coming from my soul and my higher self.
I
They're kind
love
of the
this.
same thing. Like, I don't like, I never like to be attached to anybody else. And then, of course, there are higher forces that are helping you to get where you are meant to be going, but also because you're meant to be going somewhere, you're meant to heal certain things and all of that. But it feels more empowering to me to believe that my intuition comes from my higher self and my soul than from God or angels, or like they are my helpers. My ancestors have a story to tell me that can help me in my path right here and right now. Everything can help me, but the whole, it's me. That's the way it makes me feel like something that is true. Otherwise, it feels to me like someone is kind of maneuvering me, and I don't like that.
I love this. I love this in particular for people who have some fear around the word intuition or connecting to their intuition. It's like all you're connecting to is your higher self. Like you're not going to misinterpret some master message from God or, it takes away some of the intensity, just defining it this way. So I really love that. I'm so glad that we got there to that little description. Okay, well, this all came from the very first thing that stuck out to me. Is there anything else that here that you want to talk about, or can I go back to some other things you talked about at the beginning?
No, you can go back to whatever came to you.
Yeah, okay. And we may have addressed some of it because we've talked about so many amazing things already. You talked about releasing limitations. I don't know that that's the place I want to go right now, although super important. Trusting yourself, which is, I think, the number one thing I help my clients do after their abortion stories, is like there's a reconnection to self and a reconnection to trust and a curiosity and a compassion with self. I think building self-trust after anything traumatic that we've been through, and again, disclaimer, not all abortion is traumatic. but it can be in some ways for some people. I think rebuilding self-trust is probably one of the number one things that I look at with people. So, yeah, I guess my question is, what do you have to offer there in terms of the listener who feels like they can't trust themselves anymore?
If you can't trust yourself, then start to try to love yourself. Because I think that a lot of people don't really know how to love themselves and they go looking for love elsewhere. And that becomes complicated. But like learn to obviously forgive yourself if the decision still makes you feel like maybe you were in control of your decision, but then after you do it, you feel like, oh, shouldn't have done it. Because emotions come through in a lot of different ways. So compassion and forgiveness for yourself, and also learn to love yourself as much as you can. It's a process, it's a day-to-day work that you need to do, but it's the foundation to then learn to trust. If you don't love yourself, it's difficult that you're gonna trust yourself. There's going to be always that self-doubt within you that says, yeah, but if you love yourself, you're able to get to trust it from a different space. And so when the self-doubt is coming to you, then you're able to go like, hey, but I love myself and I know that what I feel, whatever it is, it's valid and it's true. And so I can trust myself in going into that action, take that action, whatever that is. But I do think that self-love is one of the most important, really, really tuning into your heart and really, really giving yourself that love that you feel is missing somewhere in your life. Because that's also where we end up going with wrong people and, making wrong decisions. Because oftentimes we don't love ourselves enough. And so we betray ourselves, we don't trust, and we make decisions that are not matching who we really are. So love is one of the most important things for me, loving
Yeah, I
yourself.
love that. Let love be the entry point to build that trust. So good. I would also just point out, I never know where I've said certain things, but I like to remind people that loving yourself doesn't mean you love all of yourself all the time, all of your actions all the time. It's like just a reminder to people that the task of loving yourself does not mean this, like, oh, I'm perfect and holy and worthy. Like, it's more like loving a friend or a partner or a child, in which, like, my child has behaviors that drive me absolutely bonkers, just like I have behaviors that drive me absolutely bonkers. Love is like beyond those things, right? So it's just my reminder to the people who are like, oh, now I have to get loving myself right. It's like, no, there's no like perfection status on this self-love thing.
No, it's just a way to reconnect you to you. A lot of the times I say to my clients, look, when you get into that state, go and do a meditation, and sometimes that's just enough. to remind you know, gratitude. Like I'm like always banging about being grateful and having a gratitude list that changes your perception. But if you think about it, and if you start, for example, if you don't know how to get to love yourself, start to be grateful for everything that you are, you know, for the body that you have, for, you know, the things you have achieved, for having overcome challenges, or, you know, whatever it is. But I think we never think about ourselves as someone that has been able to accomplish as much and that has gone through as much. And I'm still here, I'm still standing, I'm still going, you know, and I'm gonna be able to do this, and I will have what I want, and I will blah blah blah. So I think we're always looking out, oh, look at that person, especially with social media, look at that, I want to have that. And in that, we feel always lacking something. But when we go back to ourselves, then we can remind ourselves, okay, so now I'm at this point, what do I need to do to get here? And then it just helps you to stabilize yourself, even with your emotions.
I again can't remember where I posted this because I'm always just throwing content everywhere. I think it was TikTok, but I had an interesting experience that you just stirred up for me. I'd love to hear your perspective. I think it was 2 nights ago. I climbed into bed and like the bed just felt so amazing and I felt so grateful and so lucky and so blessed in that moment. And I had this for the first time in my life. Oh, and I'm almost 45. Overwhelming urge to thank God, like to thank something. And it was beautiful, but at the same time, I actually pulled myself back and I was like, hold up. That's a lovely thing, but I'm gonna thank myself for creating this space in my bed, and my husband for creating this home that we live in, and my ancestors who showed up and like birthed me into this place. And like it was this interesting, like deep, almost visceral craving to thank God. And then I was like, hold up, I'm gonna thank the real lived humans who got me here, including myself. And I just thought that was so interesting because it gave me some perspective for the people who, and again, this is not a knock on religion itself, but the people who lean to and like have to thank God for the pieces in their life. It's like, yeah, some of that is accurate, but like give yourself some credit here. Give
You're the one
your
taking
people some
action.
credit. Like, thank your partner and your grandmother and your mother and your town officials who made your place that you're tucking yourself into safe. Like, it was just this, like, so many people out there are missing so many layers of value between themselves and higher power, whatever their higher power
But you know, it's
is.
like, I think it's like the reverse of the coin, you know. We give our power away to other people, and those other people made the decisions for us. And the same, we thank other people, we don't thank ourselves. And so that goes in the same, like, oh, God made me so this. Okay, that's fine. Like, I have nothing against anybody that believes in religions, but I'm like, okay. But you're here taking all the steps. You're the one feeling the pain. You're the one making a decision one morning that enough is enough. You're gonna do this. You're going to go out of your comfort zone, do something different, you know, whatever that is. And if you decide that you're not gonna do it, you're not gonna do it. So, you know, you have some credit over here. And I love it that I love the fact that you said I had this urgency and then I stopped and I said, no, wait. Because that where you give yourself importance, you know, you're important and you matter and you're the person here doing all the hard work. So yes, of course you have to thank yourself. So I absolutely love that.
It was a fascinating moment. I think it was in TikTok that I shared about it, so I'll find a link, if social media works again, because we got on when social media works.
Yeah.
We might be back to gardening and shaking
Yeah.
our neighbors' hands again.
Otherwise, tomorrow again.
Okay, well, we've been talking for a while, but I have one more note that I took earlier, if you have time to for one
Sure.
more thing. The last thing I took a note about when you were first speaking was this question of who am I, and that you working with your audience on, I think this is how I remember when you said it feels like a long time ago already, but your work being helping people to connect with who am I. And so many of my listeners have a loss of connection to self and identity after their abortion stories for multiple reasons. But that is a huge question that people come to this podcast and my work with is like, I don't recognize myself anymore. I don't know who I am. I don't know who did that. It's a big thing is like,
Right.
I don't know why I'm in this relationship. I don't know. Like, there's a huge loss of identity or change of identity that people
Yep.
experience after abortion. So I'm just curious if you have any wisdom to offer people who are struggling with the who am I question.
Well, all of those things, like when you go through an abortion, first of all, a part of yourself dies.
Yeah.
And that could be a part of yourself that it's not, you cannot longer be that person even if you wanted to.
Yes.
So you need to learn to grieve that person, that part of yourself, and thank her, forgive her, and be compassionate and let her go. She took you to where you are. And she was able to endure whatever you went through. Okay, so that's one part.
Yeah.
The second part of that is also that when we go through for our decision or because life happens through certain really, really important pivotal moment that really change our lives from the inside out, we change our perspective. And a lot of us wake up. And so you learn, you start to be like, hold on a second, what have I been doing up until now? Why am I with this person? Why am I surrounded by those people? And you start to question yourself, who you are, what you're doing, why your life is like that. And then you start to get angry at yourself because you took yourself there. And one thing that I want to say is stop, don't get angry at yourself. Something happened in your life in that moment because it's that moment that you needed to wake up.
Yeah.
So right now you have a blank canvas, and all you can do is to thank your older self for taking you there, and also having had that experience that woke you up, because now you can decide how you want to create your life. And it's not easy. I'm not saying it is. But if you change the perspective, instead of saying, oh my God, what do I do? Who am I? And you start to get curious about, okay, so I'm not happy with the person I am. I am not happy with the job I am. I cannot longer stand those situations. Okay, take a breath and then start to figure out what is it that you want. And then you will see that slowly, slowly, things will start to come to place simply because you've made a decision that what you have around is no longer working. That happens, like it happened to me when I lost my dad. And all of a sudden, I was like, friends? But those people around me are no friends. Where is the love? Because I missed the love. And so I woke up being, wait, those are not friends. Those are people I'm hanging around for fun. But when was the last time that, and I started question, and that's when I signed up to become a coach, which is something that I had said for years before. Obviously, the situation is different, but you're going to question yourself simply because that part of you, that old version of you, is now dead, and you need to create a different kind of life, which is more aligned to what your soul wants you to go. And so instead of beating yourself up and going crazy, just take a moment and really figure out, okay, so I'm not happy with the person I'm with. How can I change this? It's not going to be an overnight situation, but even just going into the questioning, how can I change this? If I wanted to leave this person, what would I need to do? How strong emotionally would I need to be?
Yes.
Where else could I go? You know, and it's just like questioning for the moment, you know, but that questioning starts to open up roads for you to take. And you've questioned yourself, okay, so if I want to leave my partner, how do I do this? Where do I go leave? Do I need a better job? Do I change city? Do I change a nation? You know, and then all of a sudden you hear a podcast, you hear a friend that says, oh, you know, I just broke up and I'm taking a flight. I'm going, you know, it's those kind of things. And you start to see the synchronicity. You don't necessarily have to do something just yet.
Yeah.
But just questioning yourself and asking yourself, how do I get out of this? How do I go to where I want to go?
Yep. And there's the angry at self flavor. And then there's also the, and these are, this is a both and situation in almost all cases. And there's the angry at my people, angry at my surroundings. It's like, oh, I didn't realize how much I don't want to be around these people who have these belief systems that don't match mine, right? Like maybe I'm super confident in my abortion decision. I'm so proud of myself for following my intuition and my path and my knowing, and none of my people support me.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it's a good example of how any emotion that's arising is for a reason, and it has, there's information there to look at. So it's like, my anger, and again, it's a both and situation. Like I'm upset with myself for not seeing this before, or I'm upset with myself for like people pleasing or sacrificing myself to be in this relationship or not forming my own belief systems or any of it. I think all of this can arise after a situation like an abortion. It's just one of many, many things that can wake us up.
Yeah. But, you know, like life, it's going to be complicated at some point in time in our life. Luckily, not every day, but we're going to have to be faced with pain and wrong decisions and whatever. But it's really about stopping for a second, be like, okay, so I'm feeling this. Where do I want to go? What do I want? Like, and when you feel anger, especially when you wake up and you start to realize that the people around you might be judgmental, they never really supported you, whatever it is that you figure out about your peers, then you have a choice. And with friendships, it might be slightly easier than with family. But oftentimes, you know, when you start to wake up and you start to have your own personal awakening, you know, you start to realize, oh my God, like I can't stand my mom and my dad. Like someone, my brother is like this and my auntie and whatever. And at that point, just try to take as much time for yourself as you can. And then slowly, slowly figure out how to deal with those people, because again, it's still part of your inner child healing to get to a point where you feel so safe within yourself that who is around you doesn't really bother you. But also, you are able to put up boundaries for yourself, and for your sanity, you know? And those relationships will shift with time, because especially, you know, with family, like when you put up boundaries, they go crazy, really crazy. But if you hold on to that, they will at some point just accept that, not being happy, but still they will stop being so pushy. So really is about taking action towards yourself in the best way possible for you.
Yeah. Something else that just came up for me is like even the question, who am I, that I've, asked myself and presented many times, it's like I just had this little reminder that I believe that who am I? It's not like someone I'm finding. It's not like this version of myself that's on some pedestal and I have to find her. It's someone I'm creating, right? It's like someone I have an active role in cultivating and participating. So even when we ask the question, who am I? It's not actually something to find. It's something to create. So that just stuck out for me too.
To create and also to rediscover, because let's not forget that oftentimes we decide to dim our light to please other people. So that version of ourself that was brilliant and super super expansive and very shiny, that has been told for so many times that you are too much, it's still there and it's the core of you.
Yes.
And it's
But
that part of
then,
yourself that you need to re take back and be like, okay, now you're safe to be like that. So it's a little bit of both.
totally.
It's like,
I think the both part is yes, you are unveiling and taking a lot away to go back to those parts of yourself that did shine, that did speak, that did show up. But you're never going back to them
I
as you
know.
were when you were. I know you know this. I'm just like riffing for the conversation. It's like just the reminder, you're never going back to who you were at 5. You're going to back to who you were at 5 with a 45-year-old perspective. Like
Yeah.
that is, you're just going back to that trait, that characteristic, that power that that 5-year-old had.
Yeah.
Now, with all your life experience and wisdom, there was nothing you could have done at 5 to hold on to that because you needed all those 40 years to then revisit her with this version of yourself you've created.
Yeah,
It's
and
all
like
kind
you
of
said, and then add on from there, and then you connect all of those parts of you. You're like, okay, right. So I have so much else that I can become, that I want to become, that I want to create. And now I feel I have all, I have someone having my back, which is you're 5 years old and yourself right now. And there is no better version of you that when you connect all of your parts and you start to move forward without fear and really unapologetically to create a life that you want.
The words I was just writing down is like, I'm ready to revisit or reintegrate or reconnect to the version of myself who was confident, creative, like whatever those things are. It's like I'm ready to meet her again. But it's not like I'm ready to go back and be her. It's like I'm ready to meet her again and then create a new relationship with her. Ugh, it's also
Awesome.
juicy and good. Is there anything you came on today thinking that you would have talked about that you haven't had a chance to talk about? Or any parting words you want to leave with the listeners?
No, because I normally just let whoever is
Yeah,
interviewing me
me
to
too.
direct the conversation. I don't like to come with questions or things that I want to say, because I like to have things flowing. So I think we covered everything.
Was
I
great.
just want to end up saying that wherever you are in your situation, there is always a better moment. So just remember that everything is it's just a moment, and every moment passes by, and you can make the decision that you want to change your life, and you want to better your life, and you want to feel better about yourself. So that decision will make things change for you for sure.
I love you so much. I love this conversation so much. I'm so glad to
Yeah,
add
it's
it to the
amazing.
podcast. We didn't say yet, we know that you are the intuition queen, but we didn't exactly say where people can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on my website, theintuitionqueen.com, or you can find me on Instagram as The Intuition Queen, or on Facebook on my Facebook group, Soulful Success Community.
Perfect. And I'll do all that linking, but just for listeners right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much, Amanda. This was really, really an amazing conversation. Thank
Really
you.
lovely.
Thanks for listening, and as always, please consider sharing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. It helps me reach a wider audience and invites more people to thrive after abortion. If you're someone who chose abortion and find yourself struggling, hiding, or wishing you could move beyond your experience, head over to my website and book a free call. We'll talk about how you can start living the life you made your choice for.